One power. That's what we talk about here. That's what we're all about here at Center for Spiritual Living, Midtown Atlanta. I want to welcome you and thank you for being with us. Let you know that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity. So am I, and so it is. Being that opportunity for life to appear means that there is that within us which is powerful and important and matters completely and ultimately. It means that you are loved. You are loved with a love bigger and greater than you can imagine. You are empowered to live with freedom, with joy, and according to your highest and greatest idea of your good. We here at the Center for Spiritual Living support each other in that growth and in that direction and in that adventure of living. We do that by recognizing that each one of us is an experience or an expression of the divine. We are God's opportunity, life's opportunity to be something different, something particular and unique. And therefore, we celebrate you, whoever you are, whatever your path, however you identify yourself, whatever your pronouns, whatever your understanding of yourself in terms of how you fit into the larger world here, however that goes, whatever that looks like, we celebrate you and we support you. And we can do that because we know and understand at depth who you truly are. Even though we may not know your personality, we may not know your individual taste, likes or dislikes, we know that you are an expression of the divine. So when we think of you, when we look at you, when we see your responses on to our talks and to the things that are happening as we are together here online, we just see infinite life showing up in beautiful and wonderful ways. So wherever you are on the planet, wherever you are in life, we celebrate you, we welcome you, and we're so glad that you're here with us. You're choosing to take some time for yourself by taking some time for these good ideas. So more of our good ideas come through our sharing with you some of what we believe, some of what we are working toward in our principle and our principles of life and of living. And we're going to do that right now with our version, not our version, but our separated out part of the Declaration of Principles that were first written and by our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes. I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. There's much more to see and know about that Declaration of Principle. You can find it on our website, cslmidtown.org, where it is laid out in all of its sections and parts. And throughout the year, I bring you talks and conversations about different parts of those. Now, you saw and heard from some of our practitioners on that video. Now we're going to hear from another practitioner. A practitioner is someone who's studied these principles, who's put them to work for themselves in their lives in rich and wonderful ways, and know how to know these truths for other people in a way that can support you in your life as you go forward. So today we'll hear from one of our wonderful practitioners, a dear friend from many years, from far, far away. Well, not that far away. She's down in Florida in St. Petersburg, and she comes to us to share some thoughts and then to lead us in an affirmative prayer. Norma, thank you.
Yes,
Dr. Bob, thank you so much. I really appreciate being here today as we are talking about successful living. You know, there are certain ideas or concepts that we must incorporate in our mind if we are to have a successful life. And our subconscious mind must be filled with ideas of faith and truth. In 1974, I don't know if some of you may remember Reverend Ike, a Black minister in New York City, was a speaker on the science of living, where he told his followers, in this game of life, you must be your own cheerleader. Only then will others join in cheering you. Too many people are waiting for others to start cheering them before they will start doing anything for themselves. But you know, you must root and roar for yourself in your own mind. He said, to be a winner in the game of life, you must decide to be a winner. You have to decide what you want to be, to do, and to have. You must declare for yourself, I am in the game of life to be a winner. In some ways of rooting and roaring for ourselves and filling our mind, we fill our mind with some of the ideas as in the following. He said that you must say right here and right now, I have made up my mind that I'm going to play the game of life and win. I'm playing the game of life in my favor. I'm playing the game of life on my side. By means of the God power within me, I cheer myself on. I see my visions. I dream my dreams. I see myself as a successful person. I see myself as a prosperous person. I see and feel myself enjoying money. I am on my side. Thank you, God in me. Thank you, God in me. Our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, stated, such is the power of right thinking that it cancels and erases everything unlike itself. So place no limit on principle. It answers every question, solves every problem, and is a solution to every difficulty. Now I invite you to join me in treatment. And as I speak in the first person, let us know that there is but one life. That life is God. That life is truly my life right here and right now. As this one life, I live, move, and experience my perfect being. I know that I was created in the image and likeness of God, and my every step is ordered by the law of God. God guides me, guards me, sustains and maintains me as a channel of his peace. I claim love in action. I claim I am the successful manifestation of harmony. I acknowledge I am my brother's keeper as I spread God's love wherever I am. I trust the law of good to protect me always and in all ways, because I dwell in the consciousness that fills my every need. I know the law goes before me and prepares my way, and mine has already seen ahead and has made provisions for me as the complete answer to any problem I may have. Any expression that doesn't measure up to my intention has no power to exist. Therefore, I welcome unmeasured good through expected and unexpected channels. I manifest the experience of perfect health and abundant wealth as money flows into my hands through infinite channels, always in greater measures than I have ever experienced before. I experience exceptional creative self-expression and wonderful personal relations. It is with great thanksgiving I release this word to the unwavering universal law that responds by corresponding as I allow its perfect manifestation in my world. I declare it is so now, and so it is.
So welcome everyone who's here with us. I'm seeing the messages coming in through Facebook and YouTube and StreamYard. And wow, we've got folks from Oregon. We've got folks from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. We have some folks from Florida. We have folks from various places around Georgia and Pennsylvania and on it goes. So it's really, really exciting to me to realize that while we are centered in our expression here in Atlanta at Midtown, we are in some ways Midtown universe, Midtown wherever you are, wherever you are is the center of the universe. So wherever you are is Midtown as well. So it's exciting to me though to see these names floating by and recognize that we are having some impact or some interest at least in places all over the country. And perhaps other parts of the world. I know some, I have a friend in Spain that would be watching a little later or perhaps early in the morning, and folks in Mexico who watch later. So we've got a lot going on here, and it's exciting. So this month we are already deep into our conversation about the game of life and how to play it, based on Florence Scovel Shinn's book by the same title. Or at least inspired by, I won't blame her for any of the things that I talk about, although she might get some credit for the things I get right, and that's a good thing. So in the first week of this month, we talked about what is the overall purpose of the game of life. And we talked about and established the idea that it is knowing and experiencing our greatest good. Recognizing what is really good for us, what we desire to have and experience. And we couple that with the idea that what we are all looking for is the experience of being alive. Not numbed out by anything, not numbed out by our pain, not numbed out by our addictions, not numbed out by any of those things that show up in our world, but instead that we are fully present and alive. And the game is about staying in that place, returning to that place again and again and again. And then we talked last week about your best tool for playing the game. The best tool for playing the game is your magic wand. You may remember me waving this thing around and talking about poof, poof, things change. Your magic wand isn't magic at all. It's the ordinariness of the power of your word. When you speak your word, backed up by faith, it is a power that nothing in the universe can stand against, because nothing wants to. The universe is here for us. We live in a user-friendly universe that responds according to our deepest beliefs and our most strongly held, consistent beliefs. So when we speak our word from that place, that is our magic wand that brings about the game of life, moving us through that game with ease, with grace. Today, we're going to talk about strategies. You know, you can't play a game without a strategy. I was playing cards with some friends this week, and something I don't do very often, but I did because it was an opportunity to be with some new people and to get to know them. My strategy in playing the game very simply was to get to know them and to have a conversation and interact and relate and be really connected with feeling alive. Each of them had their own strategies for playing. One of them played by counting cards. Man, he knew every card that got thrown, who threw it, and not only in that hand, but in all of the previous hands. He watched that and he kept it clearly in his head as he continued to play. And then he made his decisions based on that, and based a lot on it. Another player was playing based on how many face cards he had in his hand. And that brought forward an opportunity to decide ahead of time what to play based on his prediction of what would happen in the world of things coming like in the world of what would play best. Another played with a different strategy. I played with the strategy of learning because I had never played this particular game before. So I decided that what I would do was use this as an opportunity to get to know people, but also to learn the game. So I took a lot of risks that I don't normally take when I'm playing cards. I kind of play safe on most things, but not this time. I took big risk and failed a lot. I did not win every hand. In fact, I lost more hands. I was running way behind everyone else. But I was doing that to learn what happened, to figure out how the cards fell, how the flow went, how this particular group played. And as the game progressed, and I began to get that, and I began to learn from those risk-taking moments, I saw them only as good. My game improved. And I did not end up last by the end of the evening. I was next to the last, but I wasn't last. But I had a ball doing it. And, you know, it wasn't about winning. It was about connecting, and it was about learning. And that's what I chose to play from. So there are strategies. There are always strategies for the game of life. And those strategies are what help us decide how to function and what to do. You know, I just Googled strategies, life strategies, and all kinds of things came up. So there are many, many books, many, many ideas, many, many things about strategies. And there may be many that I'm not even going to mention that for you are very real. And therefore, it's a matter of you choosing the strategy that works best for you. But before I get too much into the strategies, I want to talk briefly about some universal principles that have to do with why certain strategies work better than others. There's some universal realities that are present and true and that happen across the board. You know, some of the way we play the game of life is about understanding and knowing our culture and participating in the way our culture works and what people think about and how they do and how they function. We make our decisions about careers oftentimes out of an understanding of culture, what would serve our world from our perspective, and therefore give us back a lot of good from having the joy of serving our world. But there are principles that are operative across the board in all cultures. And that seems to be all about, about deeper truths that Norma referred to it in her treatment, that we call spiritual laws. And without getting too technical, let me just say that these are dynamics that are always present. They're built into the very fabric of the universe. And just as with anything, if you understand how that works, then you can select a strategy that flows with it rather than against it. You know, does that make sense? Of course it does. So some of those strategies that we build on, some of those spiritual laws are the recognition that there is only one power. One power, not two, not three, not four. Now, it may appear that there are at the level of experience, but deep down at the level of truth and reality, there is only one power. And people are using it in a multiplicity of ways. But that oneness, that one power shows up through all people and is available to all people. Another power that is related to the wand we talked about last week is the power of your word, the power of the infinite to match your life experience, the things that show up for you, the things that come into your experience with your deepest beliefs and your widely held concepts. So what we believe, what we think, what we know. Have you ever noticed that there's so many places and examples for that. One that already immediately comes to mind for me is when you start looking to buy a new car and you get a concept that there's a particular color or kind of car you want. You want a red Toyota convertible. And then all of a sudden, everywhere you go, you're seeing red Toyota convertibles. Or you get the idea of a Mercedes, black, sleek, beautiful. That's your idea of greatness and goodness and what you want. And then you get that idea and you start believing in it. You just start showing up everywhere. And then you walk into a dealership and there's the one you wanted. So the universe matches our belief system, matches what we think. You believe life is difficult and a struggle, and because you perhaps got a slow start or a rough start in life, then it's going to be hard and painful. Then hard and painful is what will show up. And the other universal piece I just want to point to quickly is that you're good, that which you consider to be good, the things that you love, the things that you have passion about, they show up as you believe in it, as you know it, as you are clear that it's going to come to you. And this passion, this truth, this reality is matched. The great teacher said it first, or said it somewhere back there. It is done unto you as you believe. Now, that's a universal reality. That's not something you can conjure up or make happen. It just is the truth. So what about strategies? You know, one of the great strategies of life that is far more profound and powerful than many people may realize is the strategy of life that shows up in every major religion and its teaching and in its principle of how to live in the world. And that is the golden rule, as it's called in this culture. The golden rule. Well, you've heard it all your life. What do you mean that's a great strategy of life? The golden rule says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Which could sound a little bit like a manipulation, unless you take it to its fuller understanding. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Give unto others as you would have them give to you. Be unto others as you would have them be for you. So it's not about just coming up with nice things to do. It is about becoming the very person that you want to be in the world that you want to live in with other people who are being the same thing, the same way. That is tricky, but it's also very powerful to know that by giving what you desire to receive, you're creating a flow, you're creating a circle. We teach this when we teach prosperity, but it's true of all forms of good expression and good experience. If you want more love, be more loving. If you want to receive a greater sense of appreciation and respect, then be more respectful. Be that which you want to receive. Become that which you want to have. You want to be a healthier, fully functioning health person in your life of health, then be that for someone else. If you can't make it happen for yourself, do it for someone else. And it will, by action of unity and oneness, by the natural law of one power, happen for you as well. You know, and an important part of this is then be non-resistant to anything that shows up differently. What does that mean? What are you talking about? It's a strategy of life that says, I'm going to know and choose to know there is one power, and I'm going to be non-resistant to any other idea. In other words, I'm standing in the truth of my love. If you don't love me, or you don't like me, or you think I'm dumb, or whatever language you may want to put on that in relationships, we have that in relationships, I'm not going to resist that. I'm not going to try to talk you out of that. I'm not going to try to create a different way for you to think about me. All I'm going to do is take a non-resistant stance and continue to love you. Now, we know that things happen, that we learn these things in various religions, that I believe it's Taekwondo, where the greatest power is not from pushing against your opponent, but taking your opponent's power and letting it pass by you. Taking what your opponent's attack and allowing it to go by if there's an attack. No power in the world can stand against the power of non-resistance. Gandhi taught us that, showed it to us, demonstrated it. Martin Luther King Jr. demonstrated it in this country, and it's still true whether people choose to practice it or not. Non-resistance, nothing can stand against it. You know, there's a beautiful way to put that into practice, in that empowered thought, in that idea of creating, in that non-resistance, then using that magic wand to create that which you wish to experience as along with or instead of that resistance. And that is the power of gratitude. It's kind of like when I was playing the card game. Losing a hand, even losing the whole game, that could have been a source of great upset and anger for me, especially if I'm in those days and moments when I'm all into competition and I need to win, because winning the game of life is about you not winning it. But when my goal is to learn, then winning the game of life is simply about learning from all of the aspects of the game of life. So I don't need to resist those things which I would call bad or not good. I don't need to push back against them. I need to recognize them as part of what is being done to help me gain and become the person I want to be. Now, sometimes that's really hard to see when what happens is very painful or hurtful. But there is always a way in which everything that seems to be done to you is done for you. And you can work with that idea and sit with that idea. It is a great strategy when anything happens to know it is done for you. Get a bill in the mail you weren't expecting. You go, oh my God, how am I going to pay this? No. You declare, first of all, thank God I'm rich. The infinite does not throw anything at me that is not for me. So maybe this is my opportunity to create more income. Maybe this is my opportunity to know something better for myself, that I am rich and prosperous, even if it doesn't appear in my bank account. So I speak my word. I accept what has happened and know that it's not the truth of me, that there is more. One of my teachers used to say, every time a surprise like that came, she'd stomp her foot and say, thank God I'm rich, and then find a way to pay it. You see, the more we say I'm not rich, the more we say I'm broke, the more we say they're out to get me financially, whether it's the billionaires or the kings and queens of Europe from the old days, if it's them that's trying to hurt me and I believe in it, then I will be in that victim position. And life is not about being a victim. Life is about living a victorious, joyful experience. So taking that position of non-resistance and using and transforming, then using your word to transform those experiences into something more powerful and greater. Not by making them wrong, but by knowing better what's there. One of the really powerful ways to do that is something I use all the time, which is a statement that is actually in the book, but I have been using it before. And that is, I give thanks for this perfect day. And I don't wait to do that at the end of the day, although I might. But the main thing to do with that is in the morning, when I am doing my meditation, when I'm going into a deeper space of setting up my day, of being prepared for whatever is going to happen and what's coming, the things I know and the things I don't know. But when I do that, when I really settle into that belief, then it's just a matter of watching the day unfold. I did that last Thursday in a really powerful kind of experience for me, treatment. Inner saying to myself, today is, because I knew I had a really busy schedule that was going to start off with my grandson leaving town to move to Texas. And I was going, oh, I don't want to see him go. And I was resisting that idea until I thought about non-resistance and realized that this is for his greater good and my greater good in some way that I don't yet understand. So my gratitude for the perfect day was to get to see him and say goodbye on Thursday morning. I didn't know exactly what time they were leaving. They had given me different times, and the whole family was going to go with him to Texas to get him settled, and then they would come back. But I wasn't sure exactly when he was leaving. But I was doing my morning thing and getting ready. And all of a sudden, I got this nudge inside of me, this feeling. It wasn't a thought. It wasn't a voice or trumpets didn't play or any of that. Just a little nudge that said, it's time to go. If you want to catch Jake, it's time to go. Threw myself. I was ready anyway, so off I went and over to their house. Pulled up behind into the driveway just as they all came out of the house to get in the car and go to Texas. The timing was absolutely perfect. I got to see everybody. I got to hug everybody. I got to get a goodbye and say goodbye and offer last words of encouragement to him and step back and move my car, and off they went. It was absolutely perfect timing. That happens when you are grateful at the beginning of your day. Now, had it not worked out, there would have been another reason for that. Something else would have been good that would have made a difference and made it been a part of that. And then the rest of my day unfolded easily and beautifully, with little nudges showing up for exactly what to do next. So that's a part of that strategy of non-resistance. Then we've got another part of that, which is looking at the truth, the reality. Like I said, there are some universal truths that we can't argue with that have to do with the game of life. That one, the real power of our lives comes as we are aware we are suspended in the current moment. We think about the past a lot. We think about what was, what could have been, what should have been. I do anyway, I'm sure you do at times. Our grief comes from our past experience for the most part, not altogether. Or we think about the future, what may or may not happen and how it will be. But the real living of our lives, the way we are fully engaged, is to be 100% in the now. I realized a while back, part of the reason I love to travel is because when I'm in new places, seeing new things, it requires me to be fully focused on now. And not what was or what could be or what should be or distracted by something. Instead, I'm fully in the experience of now. And that's a strategy for life that will allow you. Because in the now, there's only one power. There's not two. There's not good and bad. Because when you start thinking good and bad, you're in the past or the future. But when you're in the now, you're absolutely grounded in the oneness. So that's a strategy to use. Strategy of staying in the moment here and now. Diego, who does our production here for this broadcast, when I was talking with him a little about this before the service, he's like, yeah, but I just go praise now. Yeah, praise now. Think about right now, what's missing in your life? Is anything? If right now, not in 30 minutes, not yesterday or before now. Right now, what's good, what's working, what's right, what's powerful. You know, it always causes me to take a nice deep breath because now is such a sweet, sweet place to be. It's a great strategy of life to live in the now. Doesn't mean we don't make plans. Doesn't mean we don't go ahead and follow our schedules once we get them and all of that. But it's a strategy to aim for having experiences that bring us fully into the now. One of the things that helps with that is whenever things come up that seem to be troublesome, when there seems to be a duality, when there seem to be two powers working in your life, something for you and something against you, and you're struggling with what's the best or right answer or best way to handle all of that, one of the really powerful ways to stay in the now is what Florence Scovel Shinn calls burden casting. You may have heard it if you're from a Christian background, cast your burdens upon the Lord, God, whatever. But what you're really doing is casting your burden on the infinite power of oneness within you. And you do that by simply saying the words, I'm casting my burdens on. I'm casting this uncertainty on the power of life within me. I'm casting my confusion on the power of goodness and wisdom and love within me, because we all have that within us. So it's choosing to reach out to that greater, higher power. And then the other part of the game that has to do with strategy is really getting clear about what your purpose is. We're going to talk more about this in the next couple of weeks, but right now, just to say that when you know your purpose, then you know the strategy that will get you there. If my purpose had been to win that game on the other night, then my strategy would have been very different. I would have gone online and I would have learned all I could about the game, and I'd looked at all the videos and I figured, because you know all that stuff's available to us, figured it all out, walked in there playing dumb, and then tried to use that to win. That wasn't my strategy. Or my purpose. My purpose was to have a great evening with people that I want, that I care about, and to meet some new people. And it was to have fun and to keep it light and learn by doing and by participating. So I had the perfect strategy for that. So get your purpose clear, because when your purpose is clear, then the strategies become easier to choose and follow. If your purpose is to be wealthy, there are, you know, the strategies. There are books and books and books on the strategy for building wealth. But the biggest one is how you begin to think and feel within yourself. You begin to work on your beliefs about prosperity. And you begin to let go of any resentments to anyone who has more money than you, if that's your if money is your prosperity definition. You know, it's like it's all comes back to right here, to know ourselves. Now, we just add really quickly to all of that, that in building these better ideas for ourselves, one of the most important, powerful ways, you're going to love this, is music. Music speaks to our subjective subconscious mind in a way, and with non-language in a way, that nothing else really does, except rhythm, which is part of music. So if you're working on something, if you're thinking about, this is what I want to be, I want to be in the moment, I want to be in the now, listen to music that really grabs you and brings you into this moment where all you can really think about is that music. And then dance to it. You see me dancing sometimes. He cuts me into the screen a little early and you see me wiggling around and dancing to the songs, because that physical movement takes it into my body and into my consciousness in a deeper way. It being my belief, whatever belief I want to establish. Dance it in, dance it out. Establish that purpose and that clarity of truth for yourself. So the nutshell of this is that the best, most powerful strategy of life that aligns with the strategy of the universe and how it operates is that we give to receive, we receive to give. Not in a manipulative way, but if that which you want more of, you feel is missing, then you've got to give it to yourself in consciousness first. Because then the universe just goes in a high gear and starts making it happen in your world around you. But as long as you're not sure, you don't believe it, as long as there's fear there, there are wonderful strategies for turning fear into faith. Fear is just faith in that which you don't want, or that which you believe will do harm to you. But in a world of one power, nothing ultimately does harm to you. This uncomfortable, harmful experience is yes. But your soul, your being, your whole innerness can't be harmed. So fear to faith is shifting that energy of fear, that faith energy you're putting towards that which you don't want, into faith in what you do want. I am prosperous. I give thanks for my perfect day. I am right here, right now, in the very best world I can be in. See, all of this can work for you, but you need to decide, what is your strategy? What is your purpose? Learn how to use that magic wand in a way that you perhaps have done, that you can do more powerfully than ever before. Because you deserve the very best life you can have. And so do I. And so it is. Thank you. Now let's hear from Vance.
Thanks, Dr. Bob. That was a wonderful talk this morning. And that law of circulation you were talking about, living in the moment, projecting that, having an amazing life. So in that idea of prosperity and generosity and giving, you have an opportunity now to give with us. And you can donate at cslmidtown.org/donate, or click on the QR code. It'll take you right to the donation site. You can set up a one-time donation or ongoing giving as you plan on doing for your giving with us. So if you will now with me, say our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Now we'll go back to Dr. Bob for some announcements.
So this coming week, we have a couple of things coming up. On Tuesday, we have Boost, which is an opportunity to come together and support one another in boosting our lives and boosting our consciousness by boosting our empowered word, by working to clear out anything within us, obliterate, as Scoble Shin says, the ideas that are contrary to our good and what we know are good to be. So it's an opportunity to do that, to discuss among ourselves, and then to do some spiritual mind treatment, which is an affirmative prayer, which is designed to work on our consciousness, to work on our truth, and to bring us to a higher and greater idea of life. So join me, if you will, if you'd like to, on Tuesday at this same Zoom link. If you're on the Zoom, if not, go to the website. It has the link there, as well as a description of what's happening on Tuesday. Next week on Sunday morning, we have a discussion group, an adult discussion group, that is about walking through the book Living the Science of Mind, which is a rich, rich resource of ideas for living well. And it is led by our practitioners. We invite you to join us also on Zoom for that particular time. It's from 10 to 10:45. And then many people hop off of Zoom and over to other platforms to watch the talk and the service. And then at the end of the service today, like right now, in just about 5 minutes, we will be together on Zoom, on that Zoom link, to have a bit of a conversation, to just catch up and touch base with each other. This is a community, a deep, rich, wonderful community. So we invite you to join us and be part of it on Zoom. And I think that's the announcements. So right now, let's share in our closing affirmation. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Hope to see you all next week. We'll be broadcasting from Mexico.